that's a point in the training where you have to let the person fail, and it's hard. It's super difficult. So
is it like the Kobayashi Maru?
Gesundheit.
You don't even know what that is? No. Oh, turn in your nerd card. Give us back your minion.
You're so stupid. What is wrong with you?
Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time. And this is Success Freaks.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the number one You Owe Me Yo comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is episode 272, Entitlement. And today we're coming at you live from Gastonia, North Carolina, and Phoenix, Arizona. In Phoenix, Arizona is that happy gal.
That's me.
It's Kirsten.
I love the like rev up I get every time. It's Kirsten. The crowd goes mediocre.
Or we just say mild. The crowd goes mild.
I was wondering which Renaissance Festival show I was parroting badly. I guess it's yours. Mobby. Yeah. Sorry. Big fan. Love your work. Hey.
I was out at the festival this week, and I told somebody, and I can't remember who, somebody that likes beauty stuff, some young person, and I told them about your show.
Oh, well, that's so sweet. Thank you.
To find you.
I appreciate it.
To find
you. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I actually have had so much footage that I've filmed for like in the last few months that I've buckled down and I've started editing it and pushing the content out, and it's a weird kind of assault of a lot of me at once on my channel, but you know what? It's my channel and I don't really know what other people or what people would be expecting to see otherwise. So, hey, there you go.
What else would you put
exactly
on your channel?
That's what I mean.
That's all you
but,
do.
But I mean, normally I don't do like a video a day, but I have so much content and I've just been like trying to crank it out, and it's so, some of it's old, like it's still relevant, but I filmed it like a month and a half ago. So when I'm talking about like, and my birthday was last week, that was definitely 2 months ago. So, you know.
Well, when you edit that, you can put that
I
in.
Do. I do. Old. Hey, you don't. Hey, five years on YouTube, homie.
You're right.
I know
you're
how right. to do a you're notation. Right. All right.
I'm still waiting for you to help out, you know, on this side of the fence.
It's not,
you
know, with rocket surgery.
Well, your YouTube knowledge.
You haven't asked for help. We just spent 30 minutes talking before the show, and now you're going to call me out and be like, how come you never help me?
Help me, Kirsten. You're my only hope.
Entitlement.
Then I get fart noises.
Yeah, you're welcome. Take that to the bank.
You're like, pay me, biznitch.
Take that to the bank.
All right. So anyways, entitlement. The reason for the show. Speaking with a friend of mine, I was working at the festival. And it actually Success Freaks Kim from way, way back when she was Success Freaks Kim. She manages the wax hands and lotion candles. And she has
you know my story about what? Success Freaks Kim, right?
I don't. Am I going to regret?
No. This was maybe like 4 years ago at the festival. We were chatting. And so how long have you been doing Success Freaks? About 4 years, right?
No, it's since 2011. So
okay, that's what I thought. I thought you had been doing it for like a good year. And we were talking about something, and we were at your cart, and you were like, oh, hey, come over here. Let me introduce you to Kim, and we'll get you a candle, because you know how much I love candles. And
right.
You introduced me to her, and she turned around, and she's like, hi. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're Success Freaks Kim. And that's how I addressed her, and everybody laughed. That's the story.
Awesome.
I'm drinking coffee now. That's your awesome. Turn to talk.
Okay, good. Here we go. So anyways, talking to her, and you can meet her again, you know, when we get to Arizona.
I will address her once again as Success Freaks Kim.
And she'll be like, I don't do that anymore.
She'll be like, that was a phase. We don't talk about it.
It was a phase. She phased herself out. Anyways, talking to her, and she was talking about somebody that needed to go to work and getting out there. And I said, well, how is this person doing? She says, well, you know, they're okay. They're actually doing very well compared to the way they used to. And they want to show me how hard they're working. And I'm like, they have a hard time with that? She goes, yeah, she's had a hard time holding down a job and doing all this. In fact, all my, and then she started on she attached it to millennials. And I don't know that that's just where it should be, but because that's what she said. She's like, a lot of them are growing up with little to no coping skills, because she's finding that their parents have for whatever reason coddled them quite a bit. The parents have fixed things for them. You know, one of the examples is with the richer kids, where they get them a car and they pay for the insurance, and they take, you know, if they get a ticket, well, then, oh, don't worry, daddy will pay for that or everything. She goes like, I have no problem in buying them a car, but they need to learn the value of it. They need to be able to pay for things. And my own personal story is, whenever I hear somebody who's talking about insurance, I'm like, if you can, pay for it yourself. I wish that I had. I did not. My parents paid for mine for quite a while. Not till I was 30, but, you know, for quite a while I was living in the house. I would have learned how to take care of that stuff much younger. As it was, it wasn't until my 30s where I started taking care of stuff on my own a lot more. And so I was a really late bloomer when it came to getting out there and you know, moving and shaking and jiving and trying to make something of my life. It's more like, well, things are just going to come to me. Things are going to come my way, which is great for law of attraction, but no bueno when you need some follow through. You know, the opportunities drop in your lap, but if you have no coping skills, when you run into trouble, you're going to tend to go, oh, well, I don't want to do this. I'll do something else. In fact, I watched this with one of the children in one of the houses I live with. Whenever he's playing a video game with us, the adults, and we're all playing together, and he does badly, he quits. Or if he's playing another game, he quits, versus toughing it out and getting better and doing whatever. And sure, we're just talking about games. However, in real life somewhere, what's going to happen when, you know, you join that job and you just, oh, this is much more work than I wanted it to be. I'm going to quit. So.
Well, that's true. When you told me we were talking about, or when you suggested that we discuss this topic today, this is something that I feel really strongly about. I feel like a lot of people are entitled, and there's a big difference between feeling entitled to something and having earned it, and feeling genuinely upset that you've worked so hard to earn something that is still not being, not given to you, but that, you know, something that you've earned and worked very hard for and done everything you've been asked and more and exceeded, and then it's still not being given to you. Like a job, for instance, like you have to get a degree in this, you have to have this many years of work experience and 10 references, and you get not only a bachelor's, but like a master's, and you have 5 extra years of work experience, and then you have 15 references, and it still goes to somebody less qualified. That, I mean, I feel like that's people would be like, oh, don't feel entitled. Well, like, I don't feel entitled, but I did everything I was supposed to. Like, I earned it. I went beyond. And I think
entitled to me, I'm sorry for interrupting, but entitled to me means like you just said, you didn't really earn it. You just expect it.
Right. But I think,
you know, or for very little effort.
As someone who is 28 years old, and my generation, it is so funny because I was talking to a friend about this last night, and in less polite terms, I was talking about people who are about 10 years younger than me are typically pretty crappy. And my generation is still, we're just mildly crappy. Because we, you know, when we were growing up, we still had to go outside and play, and we didn't have as much technology like as there is now. We didn't have PlayStations and stuff. Like, we had like super like Duck Hunt on like Nintendo. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't have what we have now.
Video games were cool, but they kind of suck. So you're like, all right,
right,
I'm bored with this. Let's go outside.
Right. 20 minutes of this and like, I'm going to go ride my bike for 5 hours. So, but you know, we're kind of right there in the middle. And I think though, because I kind of have like a foot in each side, I really highly feel, and I get this way so often when I hear people who are like older than me going, oh, your generation is just the worst. I'm like, you know, I feel like that is such a crutch to lean on for people who don't think that we worked as hard as they did because we didn't have to work the same way they did. Technology has made a huge difference in how people get stuff done. I think like degrees, for instance, I think bachelor's degrees are honestly, I think they're worth less than they used to be because of the way I earned mine versus the way somebody earned one 20 years ago because of technology. But that doesn't mean I didn't work my tushy off to do a bachelor's degree in 3 years. And I see both sides of it, but it's still every time somebody goes, oh, your generation is just the worst. You never work for anything. I just go, you know, just because I didn't work the way you worked doesn't mean But at the same time, then I see people who are younger than me and I'm like, oh, they're the worst. So, I mean, like, oh, the hypocrisy is strong in this one. I will admit that highly. But the thing is, and I think this is what we're going to be getting to further on, is I don't think it's constructive to just say, oh, they're entitled. Meh. I think if there's somebody who could use some coaching and some guidance and maybe a little bit of a, you know, punch in the face from the fist of reality, that we give that to them. Because I think just sitting there complaining that the next generation is awful is just like, hey, you, get off my lawn. It's just crotchety. And it's like, it's just, it's not constructive. You know what I mean?
I do. But you know what? I think we should discuss this more in the next segment, and we'll be right back.
Hunger isn't a faraway problem. 1 in 7 Americans live with hunger. At Islamic Relief USA, we think it's up to the other 6 to share our food with our neighbors. Islamic Relief USA is packing up food and bringing it to communities in need. As always, it's for anyone of any faith or any background. It's just one of dozens of ways Islamic Relief USA is looking out for our neighbors. To learn more, visit irusa.org. Islamic Relief USA, working together for a better world.
Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 272, Entitlement. Before the break, we were talking about entitlement. Over to you, Morden.
What were you talking about? You were saying something specifically about people. About how hard you worked to get something, get a job moving forward. You've had an education. You put in the hours. And somebody's calling you, and then you don't get the job, so you kind of get a little whiny about it, rightfully so. You know, we're allowed to reel from the punch. Somebody says, well, you know, you're just being entitled. Au contraire. To me, entitlement is, as I said before the break, that is where you feel that you are owed something. The world owes me a living, yo. And it doesn't. It does not do that. Even if, and I'm gonna push a little bit back against you, because I've had to learn this. Even if you've moved towards a certain direction in something and you're like, okay, this is the way I'm going to go, and it's not working out, you're going to have to make an adjustment and go somewhere else. It may be changing the job, changing the career, changing the way you do things. But if you just stay there too long complaining about, but I should have this, this is how this should work out. Yes, but it's not. What are you going to do about it? You know, and some of the people growing up, you can see that when they get used to other people taking care of stuff for them, get used to it, whether it's mommy and daddy or somebody, you know, a teacher at school or something, and they're not given the opportunity to make the mistakes themselves and then have to fix them. It's a difficult thing to do. I am not a parent, but I'm around a lot of parents and children, so I get to watch it. And take what I say with a grain of salt, because I'm not a parent. But I imagine that it's muy difícil, very difficult, to be able to watch your child about to do something that may hurt them, or, you know, emotionally, physically, or whatever, and stay your hand so that they can learn from it. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, face planting on a hot stove. I am talking about maybe getting a little too close to a
let them. Let them.
They got to learn. Let them. Now, little Johnny, don't do that again, because, you know, that's how you lost your other hand. Stop.
Do you really want to lose the left one too?
But you know, parents have become enablers in a way. Oh no, let me take care of this, because you have this sense of I want their life to be better than what my life was, and you forget that your life is better because you had to make it that way. Then they don't have the skills that you have. They don't grow up with the skills that you have about, first of all, enduring something going wrong, emotionally being able to work their way through that. It's like parents fighting, taking the fight out of the room. Kids get to see the beginning of the fight. They don't get to see how you guys resolved it. They just see the beginning, then they see everything hunky-dory, hopefully. But they don't get to see how you resolved it. You need to, you know, allow them to experience this. That's how they learn. You know, it's got to be careful with being an enabler. Otherwise, the kid's going to be like, no, I don't want to do that anymore. Or, no, I don't want to have to deal with that. I shouldn't have to. And then as they get out into the real world, they're somewhat maybe socially or work-wise or dealing, you know, coping-wise, they're handicapped. And, you know, what are they going to do then? You're not going to be there for them forever. You're not going to be able to take care of them. So.
Yeah.
What do you think about
Well,
that?
And I think, I mean, this is a whole other conversation about parenting, which also I am not one. But parenting is different from what it was when we were kids, when I was a kid, when you were a kid, because of technology, like I said. Like, when we used to go to restaurants when we were kids and our parents would take us to restaurants, if we started fussing, they couldn't just throw a smartphone at us and ignore us. And now a lot of parents can do that. Not that I'm saying a lot of parents do, a lot do, but, you know, a lot of people use technology to placate their children and give them exactly what they want in lieu of letting them throw the tantrum and, you know, trying to instill good behavior. And so I think it's hard. It's a totally different way of raising your children to not be entitled now because of how much is available at our fingertips, like in a second. It's so difficult. And like my generation who is raising people right now, I think it's easy to try and, you know, it's that same, like there was a thing going around a few years ago about how kids these days, you know, when we didn't get first, second or third place somewhere like at a science fair, we all got the green participation ribbon and nobody learned what it was like to lose. And I think there's some validity to that, that, you know, like, yes, be proud you participated, but you don't get a prize for it. You don't get a ribbon. Like, you don't need to be coddled. But for some reason, like, it's like our generation is like super, like, we're the boy in the bubble. Like, we get coddled. And especially like the generation after mine. And it's frustrating for someone like me who is now, you know, I'm 28 and I'm very self-aware of the way that other people, like I've spoken about this before, the way other people act. And when I hear somebody do something or see somebody do something that really rubs me the wrong way, like just little pet peeves or big ones, I use that to change myself. And I have found so much of changing my attitude about being, quote unquote, like being entitled, because of the way I've seen other people act, like knowing how hard they did not work and just to hear them complain about the things they're not getting for zero work, that makes me so angry. And there's just a point sometimes where you have to like check yourself and realize how much the way you were raised impacts how you think about things and that you can make the choice to change that. And I think the way that things are now for like millennials, we were all raised to get that green participation ribbon. And now you get into the workforce with your bachelor's degree and, you know, a few years of experience and they're like entry level, 10 years of experience required. And you're like, what? I am not qualified for this, but like I worked and got my degree and you feel like you should get more, but you don't. Like you have to check yourself. So I think, I don't know. I just think I have one foot on either side of the line and I am equally as passionate about both, but I can't pick a side. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
It's just the millennial in me. I'm so entitled to be able to have opinions on both sides.
And everything swings. The pendulum swings. So I think the next generation, it's going to start swinging back and they're going to start not coddling their kids because like I don't want them to be coddled like I was. I want them to be able to deal with it. Or because, you know, the parent that the now parent that was so coddled are going to be so annoyed with the kids that they're going to be a little rougher with them, and those kids will learn to deal with that roughage.
And then their kids are going to coddle because they didn't like the way they were brought up. Rough.
It just goes, it goes back and forth. It goes back and forth. There was I have the book. I have the guy. And I can't remember the story I wanted to tell, which is really annoying.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Right now. So, what?
Nothing.
Shut up, you. So you have to, you have to be careful with that enabling thing. It's bad. Okay, let's move on. No.
Well, and I mean, I think, like I said, I think there's something to be said for realizing where you are in this cycle, depending, I mean, it could be your age, or it could just be the way you were brought up. You could be, you know, like in your 50s, but you were brought up really sheltered and coddled. And it's you. There's just, I think if you realize that you feel like the world owes you so much and you're so entitled all the time and you never get what you want and you're so depressed and you just feel like, I deserve all this. I think that the level up from this, which we'll get to in a few segments, but I think that it's how somebody can come back from that and how they can self-adjust to make those changes to not feel entitled. Because I feel like depending on your personality and that kind of thing, feeling entitled and not getting anything and just constantly feeling entitled is such a cycle of misery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And we will definitely talk more about this in the next segment, which is coming up with a quickness right about now. Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 272, Entitlement. You deserve this show. Face it, you do. Now, we've been talking about entitlement for a while, but I wanted to bring up something else that also Success Freaks Kim brought up was trigger words. And she related a story to me where it's starting to happen in college campuses now, that these kids who are now college age, who are so coddled that they now have what they call trigger words. You can't talk to me about that. We can't talk about that subject. We can't, because it's a trigger word for me. So we have to talk about something else. Now, I looked it up. Urban Dictionary says it's a topic, a phase, or a word that emotionally sets someone off. Could refer to anger or reliving a traumatic experience. Sometimes this is logical. Other times it's like an attention grab. It's also, and then in a harsher way of putting it, it said a word that is often used by idiots on Tumblr to justify their bitchy attitudes, most of whom don't know what a real traumatic experience is. So, and I found an article called The Coddling of the American Mind. And this is in the name of emotional well-being, college students are increasingly demanding protection from words and ideas that they don't like. And here's why that's disastrous for education and mental health. And then the article is right there. And it talks about, well, no, we don't want to talk about, you know, what was it? It was a class on law, and they did not want to talk about rape law because that's a trigger word for them. We can't talk about that. It's like, but we need to talk about this. This is a class on lawyering, and this is part of the thing so that you can learn how to deal with it. And that's the problem. Something that I found somewhere else, it basically said that avoiding something because it bothers you is not helping you work yourself through it. So, you know, you coddling yourself and going, no, I can't look at that. That makes me uncomfortable to even look at there. Sometimes, like an example, this is not emotional. This is more physical. I have this one, there's quotations around the word dream. I have this dream of going into a pet store and having a tarantula crawl on me. It will freak me the F out. Because I'm not a spider fan. Spider fan. I am not a spider fan.
That sounds like it's copyrighted.
I know I changed it, so it's a parody, so it's legal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
So anyways, that's a way of working through my issue. And there are certain things that I need to do for my work life and everything. And of course I drag my feet or stick my, you know, head in the sand or no, I don't want to have to deal with that. So I'll work on this stuff over here. And working through those issues, I can just ignore it and go, no, I don't want to do that right now. Or I can, basically it's on some level, you're allowing yourself to be a victim of what you dealt with or what you went through years ago. Decades ago. Now, it could have been really traumatic or it could have been a small thing. You know, I was bitten. When I was a kid, I used to play with spiders. I mean, a very young kid before third grade. And I had this image of my father picking me up and dragging me out of, carrying me out of a ditch. And I'm like, no, I remember. He's like, no, it's an ant bite. He's like, no, it was a spider bite. I don't remember what happened before. I don't remember what happened after. But I remember never playing with spiders again after that point. Probably best. Probably worked out for me. However, that's why. You know, finding a way to deal with these things.
I Phobias. Have an opinion.
Oh, thank God. Please do.
I don't think it's fair. This is my millennial side. I do not think it is fair to decide for somebody who is young what they are and are not triggered by. I don't think that it is fair to say that we're spoiled by having trigger words. And I don't think it's fair that you should make people talk about things so that they can get through them if they're not ready. From personal experience, having been assaulted, you might not be ready to talk about it, and you might not be ready to talk about it for years. And I don't think that people who would sign up for a law class where they know they're going to have to talk about like sexual assault law or rape law, I don't think that that is smart of them to just put themselves in a situation that they know they're going to be uncomfortable in. However, like, for instance, people who use the word rape as a verb, or, you know, in a situation that it is clearly not that, like, you know, oh my gosh, I totally got raped on that test. Woo, I got an 85. Isn't that terrible? Or, oh yeah, I went to go buy a car and they raped me on the interest. You know what? Like, that really upsets me. That really upsets me when people use that way. And it's not fair, I think, if somebody is triggered by the word tarantula because maybe they have had a bad experience or they have a bad recurring dream. If they aren't ready to move forward from that, I don't think it's fair to just go, oh, you're so spoiled with your trigger words. Aren't you so sensitive? And that applies, I think, for all generations. But again, because my generation and younger are on Tumblr, and that's a thing, and Tumblr is its whole own entity. I think it's, I mean, like I said, I'm pretty firmly in the opposite camp from you on this one, that when someone's ready to move on, they can, but it's not fair. It's the same thing with sexual assault. Like when people go, oh, did she really or he really get assaulted? Or are they just crying wolf? Are they just saying it? Do they really have a trigger with this word, or are they just saying it to be, you know, edgy and seen, as it used to be called? That's not your choice to make. And it's not, I don't think that somebody saying I have a trigger word and I don't want to talk about that, I don't think that that's something to be mocked or thrown upon a certain generation just because we're spoiled, because we're not. The end.
Okay. And you have some very valid points there. How do you feel about grammar Nazi?
That one's a little... My thoughts on that have changed in the recent year with the election. It's fine. It's not. I've said it.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because I've used the word before, and with the intent of what it is somebody that's, you know, really like in Jerry Seinfeld, soup Nazi,
right?
You know, different things like that. I got called out for it.
Yeah. And that's so something, you know, they might have.
Now, that's not your trigger words, but I wanted to bring something that didn't affect you emotionally so that you can look at it and go, huh, they're just words.
They are.
I am not minimalizing your experience with it. I will say that what the example I gave you was an extreme. However, college, and I believe you've gone to college.
I have gone to college. Your mom goes to college.
My mom...
Nailed
college
it.
is a rough and ready place for you to deal with stuff. It's not high school. They're not gonna coddle you there. They're not gonna, if you show up and go to class, you pay for your class. If you show up, great. If you don't, you'll get the grade that you're gonna get. All these different things. So it's supposed to be a very challenging, very, you know, that you see that when they used to have TV shows about colleges, they're like, look around you. 90% of you will be flunking out of this class or dropping it. That's true. And that's why, because those people that take those classes, when they graduate and they graduate from those or finish those classes, they are the best of the best. And there's a reason for it to be like that. So that, you know, college is not high school 2.0. It's supposed to challenge your mind. It's supposed to be confronting on some levels with new ideas, and you're supposed to be able to bring those back and throw those at the teacher as well. If you are a little too hands off, if a college professor has to change his curriculum because the students are going, oh no, I can't deal with that. Now, again, the rape language, that's an extreme that I brought up, but there's other things too,
right? And just because
it's
not as extreme doesn't mean it's any less valid.
Where's my green ribbon?
Right.
And that's what I'm likening it to. I see what you're saying, what your point of view is, But when it gets to the point of changing something that's important to a college course, they're not just whipping this language out and just trying to mess with the student. It's like, no, you have to learn this. This is something you're going to deal with. But one of the points of the article that I looked at said that the college professor is like, I'm scared of my students because they're going to complain about something. I don't know what to do here. You know, and I have to teach this course.
He'll be in the right,
so I have
to
teach a watered-down version of it.
He would be in the right, though. I mean, he's not, like I said, like, again, very extreme example, but he's not using it just nonchalantly. He's using the word as the way it is actually used. My point is
that if the children are not exposed to a little bit of a rough time, a little bit of losing, a little bit of getting hurt, a little bit of having to fix something they broke,
whether it
was an accident or not, if they don't do that, then later on in life, they're going to go, no, where's my green ribbon?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more about that when we come back.
What happens when a self-help comedian and a social media manager both have a passion for podcasting and come together to support a common cause? A podcast is born. So what exactly is the Water Relief Podcast? Each week, BC Dodge and R. Morton Mott from the Success Freaks Podcast sit down with staff members and volunteers to talk about IRUSA efforts in the United States and abroad. So how can you listen to the podcast? Download from IRUSA.org. You can also find it on Blueberry.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Subscribe and download the Water Relief Podcast today.
Oh, welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 272, where I was talking about something and I will continue to talk about something because I'm not entitled and I don't always throw it to Morden. We were talking about entitlement, weren't we? Well, don't answer that. It's my turn to talk. And
keep going. This is great.
You're just relaxing. It's fine. Aren't you so entitled to a break because I always, quote unquote, throw it to you?
Did I say something in the break?
Did you say exactly that in the break? Maybe. Uh-huh. Sure. So we've been talking about entitlement. And our last segment here, we usually try and talk about leveling up, how you can level up from this. I think it's funny because I'm sure that the difference in the people listening to this right now, whether they're closer to my age or closer to your age, they're either vehemently agreeing with me or you. It's probably like every time I talk, somebody who doesn't agree is like, stop talking, you're so entitled. But it's true. Like, it's easy. It's a knee-jerk reaction to just say someone's entitled. And I think if it's somebody, you know, if you're just like trying to hire somebody for your place of employment, you're trying to, you know, hire a new employee and everybody that's applying is entitled and you just think that they don't have anything to offer, there's more applicants out there. So just wait. But if it's somebody that already works for you or somebody that's a friend or family member and you want to actually make them aware of their entitlement, and I think there's a way to gently tell people, like, you know, I'm not trying to start anything here, but you know how entitled that makes you sound because you haven't done any work towards that, or you haven't experienced anything that would make you have that opinion. And giving the chance for there to be the dialogue of why they think that way, or if they do think that they've earned it, if they've worked towards it, or maybe just giving them that little push to make that self realization that maybe I am entitled and maybe that is why I'm unhappy. Because I know when I feel like I'm working so hard towards something and nothing is working out the way I want it to, this happens on YouTube constantly. Like, when you are working and putting in work and putting out content and doing so much behind the scenes, and then your channel isn't growing or you don't feel like you're getting the exposure you want, it's really easy to go, I'm entitled to that. Look how much I've worked. And a couple years ago, I dropped that because it made me so unhappy. It made me so unhappy to look at my YouTube channel and go, I've worked so hard. Why am I not like a super famous YouTuber? Which now I know is not what I want. So that was, you know.
Those grapes are probably sour.
Do I sound like that?
No, you're higher. Oh,
thanks. Is that your I'm mocking entitled people voice?
Yeah, no, I'm just joining in.
I know, I'm kidding. But it made me so unhappy to not get the success that I thought I had earned, which in reality I had not. It's a huge pond. YouTube beauty videos.
So why keep going?
Because it makes me so happy to do the channel. Making the content and talking to people in the comments makes me happy. And I used to think that it was about the numbers, and it really isn't. I love making videos, and I love being funny and being myself and adding what I think is a unique perspective and viewpoint to the beauty community, which seems to just be so cookie cutter. And I love that. I love feeling secure in what I put out and feeling confident that what I'm putting out is unique. And that's all I really need as far as that goes. But I had to check myself. I had to check my entitlement to not feel so depressed every time I would go look at those numbers and be like, but why? And now I don't. I almost never look at my numbers, which is not a great thing if you do want the growth. But I've learned that the numbers is not what's important to me. They're nice if they come, but it's not something that I have to get, because you just have so little control over something like that. So I checked my entitlement. What about you? What's your level up?
There's two ways of dealing with this. One was the way I'm going to hit it as well, which is the way that you hit it. And then there's one with the parents, which we also need to hit. What do you do if you're a parent and you're watching your kids and your kids are being coddled and you're taking care of everything and you're, oh, here, let me just pay for that, or here, let me fix that for you, or whatever? It's got to be the hardest thing in the world to stay your hand while you're watching your child up with the hopes that they're going to go out. Any parent who doesn't want their kid to play in football or some really rough sport because they're not able to be there to protect them. And they're not, but that's life. You do the best you can, and you let them go. And when they break, you can hug them or whatever, but they got to learn to be able to pick themselves back up. Otherwise, they will never learn to pick themselves back up. So it's rough being able to do that, but you got to be able to do that. Now, if you find that you are a person who is, you know, lack of success because you feel so entitled and nothing's happening, and you're depressed even because how come this is not working for me? I've done everything right. I've done like I was growing up. Everything's fine. How come it's not just dropping in my lap? You need to learn to fail. You need to learn to be okay with that. There's an expression called fail forward, which we thought we came up with, but actually comes from John C. Maxwell. And it's basically being okay with failure and realize that failure is a stepping stone to what you really want and that you're going to move forward with that. I say go and F things up in a glorious manner. Fail wonderfully. And then you'll figure out how to fix it as you move on. Because if you're able to do that, then you're able to deal with failure. And if you're able to do that, then you're able to figure out what it was that you need to do to fix it. You know, maybe your failure was a serendipitous, in that you, this thing like Kirsten, she doesn't want to become this great big YouTuber because of, for whatever reasons, her own reasons. You know, maybe her not being successful is a blessing to her right now, because you're like, wow, I really didn't want that. I just want this amount of success. You know, or maybe it is teaching you there's something you're not doing right that they're doing right. This is all a system. It's all a formula. Figure it out and move on. Well, how come it's not working? Well, there's something you're not doing right. Anybody who's ever worked on a computer or trying to set up wireless with your printer and everything knows what that feeling's like. Why isn't this working? It should be working. How come this is not working? I was working on being able to upload stuff from my computer to my website. And I use this software that I've used before, but it's because I haven't set it up yet. I set everything up and everything's working, and now it won't upload. But I did everything. I said everything's right. The passwords are right. Everything's working. Why won't it upload? And then I remember in the back of my brain, oh, wait, there was something else I did, because it didn't work with my other computer. I got to figure what that thing is. So fail forward with that. Figure out what that is so that you can be comfortable with failure, so you can live with being uncomfortable, so you can dwell outside your comfort zone, because that's why we're here, to stretch ourselves, to push ourselves, to become more of what we can be, and have fun doing it. If you're sitting back with your sense of entitlement, well, this should all come to you. Sure, if you're really that strong of a person that can law of attract everything to you like that, if you are that, then sure. But how's that working out for you? Is it working out for you? Or are you sitting there going, why isn't everything happening, and I'm kind of depressed and upset? If that's the case, then here's your golden opportunity to learn how to fix it and move forward. I mean, I've got a million things that I need to be doing. I got a million, you know, I talk here weekly on Success Freaks about things that, and the stuff that we talk about. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she goes, you sound like you have it so much together, I'm afraid to talk to you about stuff. I'm like, girl, the stuff that I talk about on Success Freaks is the stuff that I need to work
on. It's a lie.
Still.
Yeah. It's true.
And anybody who does this kind of motivational thing, you always have that sense of being a false prophet, being full of hooey. You know, there's always that. But realize, too, that even the bigwigs, they feel it, too. So you try to walk your walk, your talk. You try to live honestly with yourself and with others. And I keep talking about it because eventually maybe I'll listen. One of these days, I see other people listening and things that were, you know, that my friend that I was talking to, she goes, yeah, I heard you talking on Success Freaks and now I'm doing this and this and this and this. And I was like, I wish I listened to that.
After 272 episodes, you still don't listen to yourself, huh?
I do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Uh-huh. I do. I'm just coddling myself.
I was going to say, sounds pretty entitled of you.
So have you ever seen the movie Fight Club?
I don't talk about that.
It was wonderful.
First rule.
Anyways, in Fight Club, there's a scene where he goes, I want you to go out and pick on somebody, I want you to go out and pick a fight with somebody. He didn't say it had to be bigger or smaller or anything. He said, I want you to go out and pick a fight with a stranger, and I want you to lose on purpose so you can feel what it feels like to lose. So sometimes you're going to find something and you're going to go, oh, I can't do that. I wouldn't succeed at that. Good. Go out and do it. You actor types, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Audition for the sake of auditioning. And you know what? What happens when you audition, you're like, I'm not going to get it. I don't care. I'm just going to do it. A lot of times you get the part because you're not worried about it. You're just you. And they want to see a real person in this role. So find something to fail at. Find something. Pick a fight with something in your life, and feel free to lose and move forward.
I like that.
Thank you.
It's good. It's good. It's really good. You did a good job. We're such jerks.
Yes.
It's fine. I'm entitled to be a jerk.
All right. Do you have anything else on this topic that you wish to discuss?
No. I think I've said what I needed to say. Self-reflection.
All right. Well, coming up next is, of course, on Beyond Success Freaks, and hopefully we'll be talking about something exciting there. But we will find out. So we hope we have not coddled you too much in these previous segments. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to On Beyond Success Freaks. I'm a really nice person. And I didn't say something kind of mean in the break.
Not at all.
Ding.
And if you have a chance to listen to us or if you give to us via Patreon, if you like what you're hearing here and you wanted to quote unquote tip us for an episode or for a few episodes or for every episode, that's up to you. Every time you can go to Patreon, patreon.com, and you will hear some of the in-between stuff that...
Where I was super nice. Where I was super nice.
Kirsten is super nice. She's super nice.
I'm real nice. It's very nice. Do you have anything going on this week? What's going on in the world of Mordant?
She totally threw it to me. See that? Didn't take it herself. Threw it to me.
Because every time we finish segment four, you go, and what do you have going on? And you just attack me. You never have something ready. So now I'm throwing it to you. What do you have going on this week?
What do I have going on? Well, I am here in North Kakalaki having a good time. I've got four more weeks. Yeah, well, I just do it all the time. I'm just a man of
entitlement. Man of habit. Something.
Thank you. Habit. That was your entitled habit.
Yeah.
So I'm just here in North Carolina doing the festivals. Last week we had student days. So this is the first time that I've had a full week off. And by off, there's quotation marks. We're getting ready to open the Louisiana show. None of these things are exciting. See, I'm a boring guy.
No, it's very exciting. It's very exciting. I got a trainee at work.
Oh.
Which
you have a minion.
I do.
I love minions.
You're so stupid.
We have minions at the festival too.
So
aren't they glorious?
Well, okay. So I've talked about how I can't discuss where I work, but basically like the training for what I do.
You know, first of all, you've only talked about that to me. We've never mentioned it on the show. Thanks for making a big deal out of it. So let's move on.
Well, I can't. And I don't want people to be like, why is she being so vague? I can't, per the request of my employer. So,
Or she'd have to kill us.
Right.
All of us.
I can't tell you, otherwise I'd have to kill you. But I love what I do. But training is, it can be pretty stressful because of the nature of...
Because you're a ninja.
Right. Because the nature of ninja-ing is very stressful. And before, when we were talking about like letting people fail, that is really hard in what the training is. Because the training for the portion that I'm training is 19 weeks. And it's that's a point in the training where you have to let the person fail. And it's hard. It's super difficult. So
is it like the Kobayashi Maru?
Gesundheit.
You don't even know what that is?
No.
Turn in your nerd card. Give us back your minion.
You're so stupid. What is wrong with you?
It's from Star Trek. It was the test.
Oh, that's with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda, right? Yes! 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 Yes!
Oh, you just broke
you
me.
You did that to me, and I told you how much I love mixing Star Trek and Star Wars.
Mash up. So anyways, now that you've added yourself and you let us know that you're a minion, you're going to have to kill us all, but that's fine. But why don't you tell us what it's like being a ninja. Why don't you tell us what it's like being a ninja?
What do you mean, what it's like being a ninja?
It's your job. It's about your ninja-ing.
So I ninja and I wear all black? I don't know. I actually do.
You're really bad.
I actually do wear all black. No, do not. You know what? Do not. I am just fine at this game. I'm very good at being a ninja and I'm very, very stealthy and very quiet. Nobody ever hears me when I walk into the room. I kick the door down and say, I am a ninja.
You're like a show tunes ninja.
Yeah, da da da. NINJA ninja. Yeah.
So my advice to everybody is just turn it off. Turn off the show right now because this is gonna. You got six more minutes of this
not
stuff.
Not gonna
and
get
and
better.
We ain't turning back.
It's not getting better. But when we were in the show talking before about like letting people fail, I am going through that right now with my trainee. That's what I was throwing it to. Thanks. That's what's going on in my life.
No, that's good. That's good. So is it difficult to do that? Is it difficult to watch them do that? Or are you just like, okay, everybody goes through this. Let's see how you fail. It's more about how you
fail. It is, and how they get themselves back out of it. The way that the job is, when someone's training, there's no mistake they make that I can't fix. Everything can be fixed. Everything can be adjusted and redone. But the way that the job works is like, it's not just us. There's a lot of other people involved. And so sometimes letting them fail might mean you're not sure if that's a compromise to the safety of the other people involved or not. And that's where it's tough because there's failing that she needs to do. And then there's failing that nobody can do. And it's like even someone who's on their own, and you have to differentiate between which one that is and when to jump in and do it for them, because that's a fail that no one can do. So that's where we're at, because she's that far along in her training that she needs to start failing and making mistakes and getting herself out of them. But I am still like, I still want to jump in and fix them all for her. And so I'm like, nope, she's got to learn. But then I'm like, ooh. And then I jumped in on one. And I was talking to one of the supervisors after, and I'm like, I should have jumped in on that, right? Because that was like kind of a big deal. And she was like, I would have jumped in on that too. I'm like, okay, because that's part of training also, is like you need to check yourself and know when you're just jumping in for the sake of you just want it done the right way and your way, or when you're jumping in because it is a safety issue.
Well, does it also teach them what's the difference between something that they need to work out themselves and something they need to ask help for?
For sure. But at the same time, once you're on your own, you know, you don't have... If it's a split second decision, you don't always have time to just go and ask for help. So it helps teach them what are split second decisions and what the right one is. Because there's a lot of the decisions that come up constantly, and there's pretty much always one right answer. So it's not like every scenario is 1,000 times different and what do I do? Like, but learning which ones are the more important ones and which ones are the ones that are less important, that's also good for them to see as well. So failing forward.
Yeah, it is how you learn how to do stuff. It is because when you do that, it removes that that fear of, oh, I'm going to mess this up. Well, yeah, you are. You're gonna. You're supposed to. So do it. Do it so you can move on. It's a, you know, each one of these things is that stepping stone towards being able to hone things, to be able to, towards that success that you want, to make the finding that sweet spot. That's how you learn how to play any kind of game. It's how you learn how to, you know, if you're learning how to do yo-yos, you're gonna do it very badly, or do a frisbee. I remember a bunch of us were trying to learn how to do frisbees tricks with the frisbees, and a couple of us actually learned how to do it. But those are the ones that kept with it, the ones that kept at it. And you know, I did it for a little while, and then because I've been coddled all my life, I was like, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah. Well, and there's also, you know, like you can only teach somebody so much before you have to put them on their own, and then they have to learn through experience and figuring out themselves. So you know, you teach them as much as you can, all the basics, as much of the beyond, like, you know, the intermediates as you can, but it's not until they're on their own and they have to start calling those shots for themselves that they start to really get a handle on the more advanced stuff, because
right.
That's just the nature of it. If somebody else is going to make the decision for you, you don't have to take the accountability for that decision. But then once you're on your own and it's you making that decision, you're accountable, and you start to learn what decisions you're comfortable with. And if a supervisor pulls you aside, you know, an hour later, and they're like, hey, that thing you did, don't do that again. Then you learn. Like, yeah,
20 people are dead now.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're a bad ninja. Bad ninja, no big deal. Right.
Oh, I need that on a bone pin. Can you make that happen?
Talking to the wrong tortuga.
Hey, it's fine. You're all the same. Joking.
Thanks.
Joking. Don't be mad at me. Please give me a biscuit.
Okay. When I see you in Arizona, I'll give you a biscuit. Here you go. It'll be from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Have this biscuit. I bought it on the day that we recorded that biscuit episode 4 months ago. Gross. That's disgusting.
So, is anybody still with us? Is anybody still listening to this
episode?
Hey,
Ninja Biscuit.
Ninja Biscuits are all the rage now. So...
Yep. And sorry, I'm not sorry. That's pretty cool. Ninja Biscuits, that actually sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew. I'd be a bad ninja because that's how I would walk into somewhere that I was supposed to be ninjaing. I'd walk in.
Or maybe that was just the distraction.
Ooh. For the real ninja who's behind you.
Look at this over here. Look at this over here.
Yeah. I'm the distractor. I'm the, what is it called? The distractor.
Decoy.
Yeah, that. I'm the distracting distractor.
So when I go duck hunting, I put out those wooden distractors.
Yep, that's what they're called. You're welcome. Quack, right. Quack.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do you have anything else?
No, Kirsten? I'm done. I'm very done.
I hope that you've enjoyed this wild, Mr. Toad's wild ride of a show that we did today. And we will be back, of course, in just another week. Unless everything implodes on us, which, you know, or the ninjas descend, because we were talking about this. This has been R. Morton Mon.
And I'm the not quite millennial entitled ninja who still wants biscuits.
Ciao, success freaks. Boom, baby.